This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. So, Friday was noticeable. The sun came out. It was cold. Yeah. But more importantly, it was this year's Black Friday. Now, whilst it's touted as a great opportunity to grab a bargain online, I'm sure it's not news to you to find out that it's often not the money saver it's cracked up to be. In a survey of more than 3,000 Black Friday shoppers by Starling Bank, they found that 38% of people believe they didn't really need what they bought in the Black Friday rush, while 24% said that they rarely used their Black Friday purchases, and even worse, 23%, so that's nearly a quarter of people, haven't used their purchases at all, not ever, and nearly a tenth have even bought something in the sales they still haven't opened a year or more later. And a report from the DDI found that up to 80% of items bought on Black Friday and any plastic packaging that it was wrapped in will end up either in landfill, incineration, or at best in low quality recycling, often after a very short life. Most of the resources they are made from will only get one use before being wasted. And, says the Waste Managed website, there's the 492,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide that result from the delivery of all of those Black Friday items. That's the equivalent of 435 return flights from London to New York. Now, that does sound to me like most of us lose out on Black Friday. Our purses lose out on Black Friday, and most of all, the environment loses out big time. So I'm delighted to tell you that today we're going to hear about the absolute antithesis to Black Friday. We're going to hear from Helen Nistala, who has been spreading kindness for people and the environment using craft since 2019, and who would now like to welcome you to share the joy and creativity that her calming, sustainable craft sessions can bring. There's no waste because everything is natural and gathered locally. The money involved is all for charity. The currency is kindness. Helen, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to us. So to start with, do you want to tell us about Wholehearted Childhood? Sounds like a lovely organisation. Tell us what's involved.
Yes, thank you, and lovely to be able to join you. So Wholehearted Childhood is a community project that I set up a few years ago with the aim to help children connect with nature, with the natural environment for their well-being. We work in particular with children who are facing particular difficulties in their lives. So we work with looked-after children, children growing up in poverty, refugee children, and young people with SEND. And it's really about supporting their well-being through a whole range of nature-based activities, creativity and crafts with nature, forest school style activities, gardening, and kind of mindfulness connection with the natural environment.
And do you see them getting benefit from these activities? How do you think it helps them?
Oh, yeah, it's really easy to see in the children that we work with. We just see them visibly kind of unwinding, relaxing in the beautiful natural environment in which we work. Just kind of the defences are going down. Children are talking and opening up in ways that they wouldn't necessarily typically do. And it's so much about the kind of the common environment in which you're in, the opportunity to get their hands into the soil, to gather the flowers and the leaves and the different things that we work with. So we really, you know, you can just really see it in their faces, which is absolutely lovely. The other thing I think that's of benefit, or we really try to instill into the ethos of the project, is this kind of, is a spirit of kindness. So obviously we want to show the children kindness and to make sure that everybody involved gets a very warm welcome. But we're also always looking for opportunities for everybody in the project to support one another and to make a positive contribution to the lives of others. So during the pandemic, for example, and we started just before the pandemic, so it very much shaped our ethos, but we had elderly people in care homes making leaf lanterns for children's events in the wood. We had children making wool flowers dyed with plant-based dyes, which were then decorating the care homes. We had young people from a specialist SCND school creating a nature table for the children at the project. So everybody was making a contribution and everybody was feeling the kindness of the others involved, even at a time when they couldn't necessarily meet face to face. And I think that's very nurturing as well for everybody involved. That ethos of kindness also extends to our relationship with the natural world. So we really try to work in harmony with nature. We're constantly creating opportunities for children and young people to care for the natural world. We try to gather and to grow the materials that we work with in ways that are not harmful for the natural world and really give everybody a sense of the kind of the gift of nature and how much potential there is for us to benefit from it in ways that, you know, we simply don't when we buy online.
Indeed, that sounds lovely, the idea of bringing the idea of kindness and caring for the environment, bringing them together into a whole kindness, which is lovely. Now, you're doing this fantastic work with children, but you've decided to move into doing work with adults. Can you tell us about that and why you've decided to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are starting a new program called Common Joy, which, as you say, is specifically focused on offering adults in the community creative and calming ways to engage with the natural world. Very similar to the kinds of activities that we do with children and using the same beautiful materials that we use with them, the flowers we grow, the wood that we gather, the different botanical products that we use from the gardens and the wood that we work in. The original idea was that this would be a kind of a fundraising initiative to support the work of Wholehearted Childhood, because we give our activities for children freely, but these adult events will have, you know, a ticket price. But what I realised is that actually because we grow and gather so much of our own materials, and because we are so supported by the kindness of others in the way we work and the volunteers who support us, the organisation whose site we work on, YWAM who give their time and site for free, you know, there's so much kindness behind the project that actually there's very little need for money to be involved at all. That, you know, the materials are grown locally, the kindness comes from the community. So what I decided to do instead in 2024, when we're really launching this program, is to keep going with that ethos of kindness and to use the money that we raise from the events to support other like-minded, small, volunteer-led community projects around the world. And we are beginning with a charity, a small charity led by volunteers, which is very close to my heart, called the Spring Up Foundation, which is a charity I've known for many years and I know the founders well. And they support young people in the West Bank of Palestine to continue their education after school, young people from low-income families. So this offers the young people involved more hope for the future. And it also, you know, brings skills to their communities. The young people currently being supported by Spring Up Foundation are training to be doctors and teachers and engineers. So, you know, many, many benefits in the West Bank for the work that they do. The organisation is run by a group of volunteers, including Israeli peace activists. And so when the terrible events that are now unfolding in the region began, it was like, for me to learn about their work was like a kind of a like a beacon of hope in the darkness, because they continue to support the young people and they were continuing to bring Israelis and Palestinians together to talk, to listen, to try to understand each other's perspectives at a time when there was just such terrible losses for both communities. And so simply to know that this work was happening was for me a real kind of a little lantern of hope. And it really inspired me to want to be able to tell others about it, to sort of share that hope as well. So Spring Up Foundation will be the first organisation that we support in this way through the nature-based craft activities that we are running under the banner Common Joy.
That sounds fantastic. I love for a start the way that your wholehearted childhood activities, you've made it so that there's more of a currency of kindness rather than of money, that the sort of value is in the kindness and the care for the planet, and that's away from money, and that does seem to make it all the more lovely. And as you say, with all the terrible things going on in the Middle East, it is lovely to be able to support something that is offering support and hope for people on all sides of the conflict there. So that sounds fantastic. Can you just give us a little taster? Say we were to sign up to the first one of your adult activities, what could we expect? What kind of things would we be doing?
Well, we have one that's running at the start of December, which we're calling Create Joy and Peace. And the workshop will offer people the chance to create a little wall-hanging ladder tree made of branches that I collected from the ground of the local orchard where we work, and to create kind of folk art style decorations using materials that we've either grown, such as dried flowers or gathered like pine cones, or we use nettle twine made from the nettles that are grown locally. And also we use upcycle materials like, you know, when you've had a sweater that's you put on too hot a wash and it's shrunk, it creates a lovely felt that we use. We're kind of creatively inspired by folk art. And in particular, a Swedish tradition, which is called Almoga, which today in Sweden kind of means, you know, folk art. And it's all about ordinary people making lovely things from natural materials and what's readily available locally. But what I love about the word is that in old Swedish, it actually meant all allowed, everyone welcome. And I think that's so, you know, this idea that everybody can be involved in creating beautiful things using natural materials, it's just a really lovely way both of connecting with the environment and connecting with other people. So yeah, very much in the tradition of folk art and working with what's there and letting everybody have the opportunity to be creative, which I think is something that, again, it's something that gets a little bit lost in modern life. We don't have those opportunities, or we feel like you need certain skills. And that's not at all what this is about. It's for everyone to just to make something with lovely natural materials, to enjoy the process of making and to love what they make, regardless of its, you know, funny, wonky bits. And that's something I really try to practice myself, because, you know, it's also a kind of a self-acceptance, isn't it, to just look with kindness on the things we create, which can't help be beautiful when we're working with the lovely natural materials that we use.
It certainly sounds like that, Helen. And it does sound, it sounds very mindful. It sounds like it will be a very calming activity to do. And as you say, giving yourself permission to just have a go, that can be very liberating, can't it? So I imagine that people will be getting a lot out of this. So it sounds brilliant. How do we find out more and how do we sign up?
Well, you can contact me on Instagram. It's at Common Joy UK. So that's a new little site. I have a website called wholeheartedchildhood.org.uk, or you can email me, which my email address is helen@wholeheartedchildhood.org.uk.
Okay, and you'll be able to give us details of the next workshop that's happening and how much it costs and the timings and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're going to be planning lots of lovely seasonal activities for 2024 as well. So starting in January and going forward through the year.
Sounds brilliant. Helen, thank you so much for telling us about that.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Lovely to talk.
I'll make sure that I pop those details into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And in case you're a Facebook user rather than an Instagram person, Helen has now also got a Common Joy Facebook page. As Helen said, some of her children's events have been outside and they've been in the beautiful community gardens at the Highfield Oval in Harpenden. And Helen says that if you're interested in helping with their community garden, then they'd love to see you at their gardening sessions on Tuesday mornings. Also, if you fancy doing something extra kind in 2024, then Helen says that she always needs help preparing the materials for her craft sessions. It's nothing too arduous and it's always mindful and fun. And if you'd be up for giving her a little bit of help, then email helen@wholeheartedchildhood.org.uk. Now, why not take a leaf out of Helen's book and make your own natural Christmas decorations this year? You can get out into the garden or go for a walk in the woods, taking along your scissors or your secateurs and a reusable bag, and just collect some twigs, some cones, acorns, sprigs of holly, ivy, berries, evergreens, anything that catches your eye. I mean, obviously, gather with discretion and with wildlife in mind. Then plan to sit down with your kids or your grandkids or your partner, or perhaps just with the dog or the cat and some Environment Matters podcasts, and make a seasonal wreath for the front door perhaps, or around a mirror, or make a star tree decoration, or arrange that beautiful evergreen foliage and the bright berries into a display in a jar of water. There's simply loads of ideas online. And frankly, if it all goes wrong, you'll have had a lovely walk outside and some mindful time inside, forgetting about the bargains you might have missed on Black Friday. Anyway, do show me anything that you make. You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.